Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we have a regular feature guest in Bob Kudla of Trade Genius. And he comes on and talks about economic trends and expectations. And he's so right on the money that the audience continually asks to have him back. So at your request, I heard from two people yesterday. When are you going to have Bob back on? Well, he's here. Bob, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And boy, big changes coming with Trump. And I want to get your input on how you think this is going to impact the economy and individual Americans.
Happy New Year. I'm glad to be
Happy New
here.
Year.
So it was really interesting. About a week before the election, the market started to move higher, which kind of gave us all confidence that the election was going to go Trump's direction. And then I think once people really understood the scale and the scope of his realignment, the markets took off, got a little bit ahead of itself. And actually last week, even up to yesterday, the markets basically sold back and filled the gap from the election pump. And now we're in a situation where we're going to probably get what's called the Trump bump here, between now and probably the end of January, maybe even into the first week of February. And then I think that could be the blow off top, Dave. I mean, so our view is this, that we personally think the top's in the markets. It happened last year, but we could be wrong. And depending on the scale of the derivative flows, because remember, this market is not what you see anymore. A lot of it's underneath the cover under option contracts. And so if too many people are positioned the wrong way, they have to buy the markets back really aggressively. And because liquidity is thin, what that means is that it doesn't take a lot of money coming into the markets to move it a lot, that we could actually see a blow off top that would make new highs.
What do you mean by blow off top? Do you mean record rises?
Well, it's more like it's the record pace of the rises. It's the
Okay.
acceleration of the rise. It creates basically a parabolic move, a straight up move. If you look at like what happened with like Palantir, or like 2 weeks ago, look at the quantum computing stocks, or look last year, look at MicroStrategy. Those are what's known as parabolic moves. And those moves, what we call them Eiffel Tower, the Eiffel Tower back down. So as steep as they went up, they come down just as steep, and they retrace about 80% of the move higher,
Oh,
and then it flattens. And so we think what's going to happen here is that we're going to get a parabolic move that will get wiped out, and then we'll be in a recession. Because what else had happened here, TLT, which is the long bond, started to move as well. So the market has been afraid of Trump. Two things: it's afraid of Trump's inflation, which is, to me, is a pig in a poke. And then it was also afraid of his tariffs that would create inflation. But neither one of those two will cause inflation, because it's all about the money supply. And Trump is all about restraining the federal government at this point. So we're going to go from inflation's bad to, hey, inflation is abating, which is good, to, oh my God, what happened to inflation? Deflation coming, which is bad. And I think that's how it's going to play out. So once we get this blow-up move here in the next 2 weeks, and that blow-up move may not make all-time highs, but be that as it may, once it abates, then we're going to probably go into a 2 to 3 month sell-off, because first quarter earnings are coming out right now too. And so things are going to get really cloudy. Companies are going to be, they're laying people off. They're going to have muted reactions to their 2025 numbers, and the market's not going to like it. And so my view is, if this is going up, you need to sell into this move. You need to get defensive. You need to get what you want to hedge it if you can't get out, and be ready for, I think, probably the highs will be in over at least for the next 2 years.
Yeah, very good. One of the things that occurred to me, Bob, when you were talking about the Eiffel Tower effect, goes up quickly and comes down quickly. That's really up your alley with Trade Genius, where you like to jump into things and get rid of them quickly before the loss can occur.
Yeah. We trade, you know, our algorithm looks for what's called the middle 60. So we don't like to be on the bleeding edge of a trade because it could be a false breakout. But we look for what's called a confluence of our indicators and our algorithms to agree. And when they all agree, we jump on the trade. And then you just do, you just walk up your stops, as they call it, as the trade manifests, and you get out, you make your profit, and you look for another trade. Mm-hmm. And so there's almost always a bull market somewhere in the stock market. Either you're going from stocks to bonds, or you're going from stocks to inverses, or you load up into a really conservative, you know, high dividend paying stock, you know, to ride out a rough patch in the market. But there's always an opportunity. So we don't care. If the trade doesn't look good, you don't take the trade.
Interesting. But I really like the approach, in and out quick. And you just gave us some of the elements of your algorithm, I suspect, about when to tell people when to buy and then when to sell.
Yeah. So, you know, our algorithm is it's really threefold, you know, because we actually upgraded, as you know, last year and mm-hmm. Created I think our best indicator yet, because it combines everything. But, you know, we're looking for direction. You know, we're looking at the trend. You know, we're looking at the magnitude of the move, and we're looking at the speed of the move. And as those align in our algorithm, we have them weighted. And as those hit, we take the trade. And so it goes really well for us. And, you know, we got attaboys coming out of our rear end right now because we've just been having a great time. And in fact, one trade we've been doing, the stock has been going down for the last 6 weeks, but it's continuously providing a short-term counter-trend trade. And it's our favorite trade ever, you know, that we trade. And you have to be a subscriber if you want it. But it's just been awesome. And in fact, since the first of the year, if you'd invested $1,000 in this trade, up until yesterday, it would have paid you about $6,000 in return, okay, which is about 22%. And today, because I woke up this morning to find out the market was skyrocketing, you would have been up another $2,000 on this trade. Cool. And so you'd be at 30-some percent gain on it, which is almost a 300% move if you annualize it. So, yeah. And this trade does this all the time, Dave. And when the market's going the direction of this stock, then the trade's even easier. So you can really make money on this and counter trend. It's awesome. And we show you how to trade it, and we actually post the trades as well. In fact, the trade was so big yesterday when we got back in it again after we closed out a profitable trade. By the time I woke up this morning, I couldn't change the target fast enough, and it took us out for profit. So it's just an awesome move. And we have a number of trades like that. And so we just give those to people. And if you would have took that move, even if you only bought 100 shares of that stock, it would already paid for 2 years of the service. So, you know, and that's just one thing that we share with people. So I encourage people to check us out.
What's your win rate during this time of volatility? How you doing?
Well, let me look here real quick. We keep a real time on it. Give me 1 second. Right now we're at 66.26%. up from basically 63 and change. And so, we're at a 75% annualized rate. Not bad with the market going down. So,
well, when you're winning over half, well over half, I'd say with the market going down. Let's take a global view of where this is going. Trump is coming in. Let's take apart a couple of the elements you mentioned, like the tariffs. My layman's perspective, and then I want you to analyze and critique this, is that I think the tariffs are more leverage-based to get compliance and economic behavior and reciprocity than actual enforcement of tariffs. I think he's only got to do a few of them to make a point, and I don't think it's going to be a factor in the economy. How do you see it?
Well, I think it's both. And, you know, like Canada's probably leverage. You know, Mexico is probably going to be sustainable, because China has a backdoor into the U.S. that way. China's tariffs are going to be enforceable, but Japan and Korea may be leverage, you know. So mm-hmm. It's going to be really interesting to see. You know, oil's been shooting up big time this week because he basically told the premier of Alberta that 25% tariff on all goods coming from Alberta, and that's primarily oil. So oil moved up on that. And the reason why you see the Chinese yuan collapsing is that they're trying to lower their currencies below where they think the Trump tariffs going to come in to try to keep a trade weighted, you know. But we don't care. I mean, we're going to pick up tariff money, and then China becomes less competitive because, you know, if they lower their currency, that they're buying energy and they're buying materials that they're importing now at a 25% increase, and then they got to pay us 25% to get it into the U.S. So I think it's going to be a mix of both. Look, Trump really, 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 he idolizes that period of time, you know, when Andrew Jackson blew up the second bank, but also after the Civil War and before World War One was really the golden age of the United States, and the federal government was run on tariffs. There was no income tax. And I think he, you know, he sees the evil of the income tax, you know, because it basically allows bad actors in politics and their supporters to steal from the American people and steal they have. I mean, 97% of the greenback has been destroyed by these people over the last 115 years. And he's trying to, I think this is the first step of dismantling the Federal Reserve.
I totally agree with you on that. When I look at what he did yesterday, he announced on January 20th, he's setting up an external revenue service to collect tariffs, duties, and so forth that are owed to the U.S. government. But I also look at him setting that up to shift the IRS into this as well, too. And I'm thinking, will he use tariffs and other advantages he's going to provide American business that'll bring revenue into the national coffers? And is he going to do away with the national income tax or go to a flat tax? Is he preparing to do that? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, in the short term, it's going to be impossible for him to not totally get rid of the income tax just because of he has to make some legislative changes. You know, basically, he has to claw back the right of the mint to basically print new currency. You know, basically, you know, we took money printing and gave it to a private entity. I think he has to fight that back, or he may just create a constitutional crisis, say, I'm just going to print $1 trillion and I'm going to use it to pay down the debt, you know, because it's ridiculous if you think about it. If we're running a $2 trillion deficit, so we let the bankers create $2 trillion of new money supply, which they get a whinge off of, right? Because, you know, that they capture the interest of what's on their balance sheet. It's free to them and they get to lever it up eight times. You know, it's free money for the banks versus Trump saying, you know what? And we still get inflation from it. I'm just going to create $1 trillion in currency and I'm going to turn right around and buy the highest cost debt we have outstanding and lower our deficit over time because you're starting to wipe out the interest factor in our bond issues. And so I think we're going to see that coming because there's no way it's not going to come unless the Federal Reserve agrees to basically go to a zero interest rate environment.
Ooh.
You know, so other than that, then I think Trump has a strong hand to force everybody into that environment because they can't say it's inflationary because it's been inflationary without doing it. This way you can say, look, China has $1 trillion of our money. You know, I'm just going to give them $1 trillion of our currency and I'm going to buy back our debt from them. Here you go. Now you're stuck with dollars.
And China's not going to have much.
By the way, I'm not going to let you buy my real estate. I'm not going to let you buy any of my companies. You got to pay your tariff, and so you're stuck with buying our goods. And I think, and then look what they're doing with Russia, with the sanctions with Russia. You know, if Trump keeps those sanctions on, then China and India are going to be forced to buy, you know, American and Saudi oil, which bolsters that partnership and also gives us a market for our energy.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I look at China, they're already in trouble economically, regardless of what Trump does, because they've had some really stupid policies going on. And in fact, the banks now are making it hard for people to even get their money out. That's how much trouble they're in. And I've covered that. So I think you're right on the money. China is not in a position to really bargain. They got to hope that Trump is somewhat lenient with them.
Hey, look, you know my position on China. I've been telling people for years that
I know.
China is a fake, is a pretender to the crown. And even today, you're looking at they're trying to inject liquidity into their banking system because it's failing. They crossed the Rubicon already. And since they're not a reserve currency, you're going to get a currency failure there. Here's the other thing you probably didn't know, but the richest family in China, okay, the grandfather was one of the vice premiers of the Communist Chinese Party, have left the country. They're now residents of Canada. They left. They shipped their goods out. I'm surprised. How the heck did they even get out? I thought China didn't allow that to happen, but the whole family's gone. They're in Canada. And so, you know, two things are happening. The poor and the middle class are doing what's called the lie flat movement. They're just like, look, I can't fight against the Communist Party, but the opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Exactly.
And you're going to jail people for indifference, right? And then the other part of it is called the 1 foot out the door policy. If you're wealthy, you already have money outside of China, okay? And then it's the trick of how much of your family can get out of the country, you know, before somebody goes to jail. And so, you know, you have a lot of these kids of these really rich people are already out. They're studying, and they'll never come back. And then the mother-in-law gets to go because she has to, you know, watch the kids, make sure nothing happens to them. And then, you know, then the wife takes a vacation, and then the husband takes a business trip and doesn't return. And they'll just abandon what they have in China, you know, because, you know, that's the price they have to pay to get out. And I think I would say probably 3/4 of the Chinese Communist Party knows the gig's up, and they're all basically rats ready to run down the rope. And so it'll be really interesting to see. Trump is going to put pedal to the metal on China.
Term for what you just described too. I just did a piece on this last week. It's called Ben Loin, and the young people are so disenchanted with the Chinese system. They're saying, we don't want this. We're not going to do all that we need to do in the past to get ahead. And so that term means let it rot. And that goes right back to your comment about indifference. And so the Chinese, it's not just lay flat. That's one part of it. The other part of it is to heck with the system. It reminds me of what the history books tell us about 1968. Tune in, turn on, drop out, you know, with the hippie
culture. Right.
Only this is crossing not people that are dropping out of society because they don't have talents, or they're not gifted. They just don't want any part of it. And then, you know, the other part of it, though, too, I found is that in 2019, China started to disallowing all the tutoring services that help the middle class kids get ahead. And now they're falling farther behind. They're saying, to hell with you. And all that's adding up to what you're saying right here. It's really interesting. But here's my concern, though, Bob. I know that China can't project military power globally. I get that. But the thing I worry about is they might project it regionally like Japan did before World War II to make up for some of these resource deficits. Do you think that's a possibility?
I don't know. I think, look, Japan and China are two different animals. The Japanese are severe, you know, are extremely disciplined and very focused. And, you know, they knew what they wanted to accomplish in Manchuria because they needed those resources, mm-hmm. right? So China, the only place China can get resources, if that's their aim, is to go into Siberia, you know, and then they're dealing with another nuclear nation. But exactly. If they're trying to, like, create a distraction and take over Taiwan, I think it'll backfire on them immensely because even you and I talked about this 2 years ago, now people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Taiwan probably has 500 missiles aimed at the Three Gorges Dam. Okay. Now they're openly telling China, you know, if we're attacked, one of our first strategic targets is the Three Gorges Dam. And so they're basically saying to you is, I hope you can stop all the missiles coming that way. You know, and the thing about it is that you don't have to destroy the dam per se. You just have to weaken it in such a manner, you know, that it'll destroy itself over time. And you know what? It's already destroying itself. So, you know, and we talked about that before. That's if that dam goes, you know, like in a surprise move, like China does a surprise attack and Taiwan unleashes their you're looking at 40 million dead.
Yes.
You're looking at 400 million people displaced. You're looking at their electronics and their pharmaceutical industries gone. You know, when that river dumps out, it dumps out by Shanghai, I believe, you know, and so, you know, you're talking about wiping out basically the industrial center of China in one blow. And so I don't, I just, I think it's a lot of bluster on China's part. And even if they don't do that and they try to invade Taiwan, have you seen Taiwan? It's a freaking fortress. Okay. I mean, you know, the coastal plains go under mountains. China would be fighting a 50-year guerrilla operation. Okay. You know, with a very, very, very angry Japan providing whatever Taiwan needs as support. And the other thing you don't realize is Japan is dropping its pacifist mandate, and they're buying up missiles left and right. They're building new ships. They're now on a course to go to their fifth generation fighter made homemade. You know, I wouldn't be surprised at some point if China keeps rattling the saber, Japan just announces, oh, by the way, we have nukes too. You know, if you can trust anything, you can trust Japanese engineering, right? They probably don't even have to even test it to know it'll work.
I think you're right on the money with that. And I would also add in the Philippines and Vietnam are beginning to stand up to China too. So I think there could be an alliance there. South Korea's got their hands full of North Korea, but they're not enamored with China either. So you're right. I mean,
North Korea has just realized they just sent their best troops to Russia to take on the Ukrainians, and they're using 1950s battle strategies against a 21st century innovative enemy, you know, that's just cleaning their clock.
Exactly.
And so
right.
I can imagine Kim Jong-un's sitting there saying, you know, WTF. I know if he's not, the generals are saying, look, if you think Ukraine's good, the South Koreans are even more determined as well. And they have better technology and they have a explicit mandate from the United States to defend them. I mean, Pyongyang would be gone. They wouldn't even see the fighters and bombers coming before they'd level that city to the ground. They can't even see it. Look, our F-35s flew over Japan and the Japanese radars couldn't find it. Okay. So you think North Korea, you know, you're talking that air base is what, 100 miles, 120 miles from Pyongyang? You know, they could be there in 7 minutes.
I know. It's a mistake.
3 minutes if they drop their hypersonic bombs ahead of time. So, I just think what's happening now is really, it was supposed to be the multipolar world with the United States getting subsumed. You know, and I think now with Trump, it's actually going to go back to a unipolar world with a lot of these multipolar countries actually facing, you know, potential of their own systemic, you know, annihilation. I'm not saying the countries are going to go away, but, you know, whoever runs Russia, whoever runs China, whoever runs Iran, I think you're going to see changes all three. And then I think you'll see other dominoes fall from that. So it's going to be really interesting times. Now, could bad things happen? Sure. I don't know if alerts are going off.
Bob, I'm losing you now. You've gone silent.
You're flying. Okay. I don't know if a dirty bomb is sitting in New York or New Jersey, you know, with the drones. Trump said he's going to announce that next week. So bad things can still happen.
Bob, I want to interject something there because this is an important point. I was sent something, and James O'Keefe also had the same information. And then I've backtracked it with a couple of sources I have. Here's the bottom line. HHS had a memo prepared that got leaked. I got the leak. It was taken from my computer. And I'm not making this up. It was there. It was gone. It's not in my trash. James O'Keefe reported it. Now he's gone silent on it. And then there are a couple of other people in the same boat. Here's what the memo did. It was HHS. And what they were saying was, we're preparing for a continuity of government on January 20th. Now, DHS should be in charge of all things inauguration, Secret Service, on-the-ground protection, FBI, that kind of thing. But DHS should be the umbrella. And the fact that you've got a declaration of continuity of government means they're expecting senior government officials to not survive, and they're looking at the order of secession. And why would HHS be doing it? Mass casualty event. So I think something definitely is planned, and you hit on something there with what you just said, and the fact that they're pulling memos off computers and they're silencing people like James O'Keefe, however they did it, tells me there could be something big. And then I got told by people connected to Trump, loosely, they said part of what they're doing with the rally on the 19th of January, the day before the inauguration, is to test the security and to see, you know, what kind of challenges they're going to face. I don't know if you've run into this or not, but you opened up a hornet's nest with that comment.
Well, I mean, Trump moved down to Mar-a-Lago and left Bedminster because of the drones flying over his golf course. So,
Exactly.
so you know, but he has something to say on that. It'll be interesting to see. Look, I'm definitely worried about it. Well, you know, the continuity of government's easy. You're gonna J.D. Vance won't be at the inauguration. So
That's why, right there, Bob.
You know, yeah. Well, they normally aren't anyway. But yeah, so he'll be gone, and you know, some other key people won't be there as well. So. Look, you know, we just have to hope and pray. But, you know, as we could see, you know, if you got dumbasses that could take a shot at the president, can you imagine more sophisticated enemies, what they could do?
Sure.
So, but I don't, you know, I think the only country that would really try to take a shot would be Iran at this point. You know, I don't think China and Russia would do that. China has their own strategy for dismantling the United States. And we've been seeing it, right? You know, the fentanyl. And things of that nature. They're using soft erosion. I think the Russians are probably hopeful with Trump, you know, but Iran, look, all the people they're catching coming up underneath the border here. I think they said there's 100 Al-Qaeda / ISIS / Hamas Hezbollah people that they know are in the country as sleeper agents. So what we saw in New Orleans was probably just a taste. So we'll see, you know,
right.
I'm hopeful, but I'm expecting something like that, you know, as we go forward, because we are going through an end of an age, and those are the kind of things that happen in those environments. So
that's a really
instead
good
of big
point.
Cities, yeah.
You're good.
Look, I think the Palisades is a mass casualty event too. I think that was planned. A lot of arson there, you know, and if it wasn't planned, it was planned through benign neglect, right? You know, by saying this will happen because we're not going to do certain things. So.
Well, yeah. How do you not
remember Japan?
Not have water?
Japan did it in World War II. You know, Japan launched 11,000 hydrogen balloons to try to burn down the west of the United States. So it's not like it's a new concept.
You know, how do you not have reservoirs filled because you're not anticipating a toaster oven fire that starts a house fire that spreads, or a lightning strike, or whatever it would be? Okay. How do you not have resources on hand to fight a fire? They had nothing. And we saw the same damn thing in Lahaina, by the way. The same exact thing happened. And the central agent, the asset manager for the people and their companies responsible, BlackRock. And I'm not ashamed to say it because I can prove it. But anyway, long story short with this, we are in a time of volatility, but I want to take this back to what you do at Trade Genius, because you thrive on volatility. All the time we've worked together, there's bad times, and all of a sudden, you guys come out winning 2 out of 3 trades, and it never seems to fail. So tell me going forward, what are you anticipating to do with Trade Genius, and why should people want to pay attention to what you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, if the market does the macro that we're expecting, is that we're going to ride the Bitcoin / general market into this high, into the end of January. And then we're going to actually be shorting those Bitcoin proxy names. You're talking about BITI, you buy FIAT, you buy SARK, you buy NVDS, you know, and you ride that tech Bitcoin wave back down. And then sometime in April, we look again to see if there's going to be a bump into June, and then a bigger sell-off into the fall next year. And so, and if my crystal ball's totally wrong, my algorithm always confirms what I'm anticipating. And if it doesn't confirm that, then we just stay with the trades that are working. It's really simple that way. I get the luxury of spouting off, but then I have my backup is my technical indicators that tell me whether or not I'm seeing things correctly. And I just trade what I see on the chart. So I just give people a heads up. I think, you know, humility aside, I think I have a really good feel for these things, and you and I've been doing these together for years, and I'm much more right than I am wrong.
Oh,
and
yeah, right.
I
2 out of 3. I'm going to give you the 2 out of 3 label, Bob, because I've seen it all over. And I don't care what the circumstances are, good times, but you thrive particularly in bad times. And, you know, I know you can't tell us because your algorithm has to be proprietary for obvious reasons, but there's something in your algorithm that separates you from everybody else, because not everybody else is having the same win rate you are during bad times. And I think the algorithm.
Yeah, here, well, I'll give you the secret. You know, the big money can't move without you seeing it. So everybody thinks the market's so secretive, but it's not. So you just follow the big money, and that's all we do. And so we put some spit and polish and wax on it, you know, to kind of optimize it. But that's it in a nutshell. And the fact that other people aren't doing it is absolutely surprising to me. And so it's been working. I've had this win rate for decades.
Yeah.
And we just do really well. I mean, today, you know, I've already in one day, I've already done 6 weeks worth of my budget for my personal trading, you know? So, when the markets aren't moving, you take your singles and doubles, and then you wake up in a morning like today and you realize you'd hit a grand slam home run because you were anticipating, you know, through your algorithms, you're anticipating a market turn this week and it hit. And so you come in with a little leverage, and I've already sold half of what I've already won against. So I've already took chips off the table in case it decides to do a reversal. And that's the key, then good money management. So come check us out, tradelikeagenius.com. We have great specials running to Saturday. We go to Dave's landing page, and
DaveLovesTrading.com.
DaveLovesTrading.com, and you get the best. You get the best rates there. But if you come to my site, let people know you came through Dave's interview with me so that I can apply the discount for you and give Dave credit because, you know, I sponsored Dave through our interactions with you as our customer, and we all three can win.
Yeah, I really appreciate that too. But I would say to the public, I've talked about gold, silver, other things. You know, and we look at trends. What my goal is to have America be as financially intact and prosperous as possible. And that starts at the grassroots level. And people are saying, okay, I don't know much about the stock market, and let me alleviate one of those concerns. Okay, you have a training program that's simple to the point, and then you have advisory aspects to your program as people progress into the trading. And all you really got to do is just learn the system, follow directions, and you're going to make money. I mean, that's what it really comes down to.
Yeah, and I want to be legally clear here.
When I hear you. Advisory, I know what's coming.
Advisory of how the system works, not advisory of what stocks you should and shouldn't own.
Exactly.
That is the job of a licensed, you know, financial advisor. I'm in the business of providing information
exactly
on the actual mechanics of the stock technical, you know, analysis aspects of it. So I want to be really clear. We don't take your money. We don't manage your money. I don't know your risk tolerances. I don't know how much money you have. I don't know how much you're putting into a trade. I just want you to know that I'm giving you tools, you know, to effectively trade the stock market.
Exactly. But there's a reason why you're outperforming the people that are financial planners. And I'll just leave it at that, because I know with federal requirements, you can't guarantee results. But the track record people I'm talking about, winning 2 out of 3 trades, the rate of return, which is phenomenal. This has been consistent for years. Bob and I have been doing this for years together, and the data doesn't change very much. There's a little ebb and flow, but it doesn't change. And consistency, from my perspective, Bob, is your hallmark. And that's why I can recommend to my audience that you find out more. You just got to go to DaveLovesTrading.com, and the rest can be history. And we've covered this before, but very quickly, a lot of people turn this into good second incomes. And some people work hard enough and long enough, they turn it into first incomes.
Yeah. You know, and when you go into trading, you got to ask yourself why you're doing it. You know, you're doing it to supplement your income. You're doing it to bolster your portfolio. Are you doing it for the next 20 years? Are you doing it so you can eat lunch tomorrow? All that affects what you do, how you do it, what you trade. And there's different aspects of what we offer that you can approach any of those scenarios. So some people can't day trade to save their life, but you can long-term trade. Some people hate long-term trading and they want to be on the market every day. You can still use our tools. It's time frame independent. So, you know, you can trade this on a 1 minute chart. You can trade it on a weekly chart, and it works because human nature works. Basically, the stock market is basically an accumulation of human nature you know, based on the algorithms that are built by the big money, you know, because they feed off people's sentiments and human emotions. So everybody thinks cash flow is the king on this stuff. No. Long-term, maybe. Short-term, nothing to do with it. You sit there and you scratch your head. You know, why is my stock going down while oil is up $20? Well, because it had nothing to do with the price of oil. It had everything to do with how people are positioned and so on and so forth. And so we don't care about any of that stuff. We just watch the market. We watched our algorithms, and we teach you how to do that, and you'll be just fine. If you never watch the news again, other than to watch Dave's show for entertainment purposes only, you know, you would do just fine. I don't watch any of the news, okay? I mean, I'm on podcasts and stuff like that, but I don't sit there and sit on X all day and find out what they're saying, or on Fox News. I could care less. That's all designed to steal your money. All I care about is what's my chart telling me to do.
That's about as good a comment as I've ever heard. All designed to steal your money. That should be the underlying moniker for the mainstream media. But anyway, Bob, I want to thank you for coming on. And people, if you want to know more, you're saying, I want to be part of this because I need another revenue outlet. Go to DaveLovesTrading.com. Bob, really interesting, insightful stuff, particularly about China. Really enjoyed the interview. Thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. We'd ask that you share our work far and wide. We still have a nation to wake up and motivate to get to work, because if we do nothing and we expect Donald Trump to do everything, we're going to end up where we were in 2020, only worse. So please share and make sure you follow us. We appreciate that. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios. The bottom line is the left is doing everything they can do to take down the country, and that includes the financial system. And you need to know about a little known law called Dodd-Frank 2010. It says that the banks, when you deposit your money, house your retirement there, they own it. You're number two. They can take it with impunity. You have no legal recourse. Can you start over? And trust me, they are targeting everybody. Banks are going to begin to fail. Donald Trump is going to need a recovery period. And they're trying to dump such bad things on him, like LA, that they hope he can never recover and govern effectively as he wants to do. So can you afford to lose your nest egg? I don't think so. Neither could I. That's why 7.5 years ago, I became a customer after advertising for Noble Gold for 8 years. It's the best organization I worked with. They'll never push you to do anything that you don't want to do. You have to close your own deal. But they can take the retirement out of the bank, put it under your control, back it with precious metals. It'll appreciate as opposed to depreciate with the dollar. This only makes common sense. Now, the federal government wants me to tell you that any investment carries an inherent risk. Consult a professional if you have one that's available to you. We agree with that warning. They should expand the warning to include the thieving intentions of the left, as well as the banking system and the Federal Reserve. That's my warning. So what do? You're going to call 877-646-5347. That's 877-646-5347. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have a interesting story with Revelation, starting with James O'Keefe, and I'm going to present a problem to you that his people very cleverly uncovered, and all the credit in the world to James O'Keefe for the great work he's doing. And we're going to go a step further. We're going to take some time and talk about mitigation, solutions, and proper punishments for the crime of treason coming out of the Pentagon. This is James O'Keefe's people doing what they do best. Catching idiots and traitors like this person, Jamie Manina, catching him in the act of admitting extreme treason against the United States and its people. There's his vitae right there, senior advisor, joint staff, Department of Defense, former special agent, FBI, former special assistant to that wonderful citizen we call Hillary Clinton. And he said he works at the top consulting firm of Booz Allen Hamilton. You should know what they're about. They're not on your side. And we're going to hear how he follows the innocent questions of a female reporter working for James O'Keefe.
Work at this top consulting, and my client is the Pentagon. So I'm embedded in the Pentagon. I work in the Joint Staff, which is the top military command. Once you lost, I went into the intelligence community and I became an FBI special agent. So I became a spy hunter. So I was a counterintelligence agent, special agent at the FBI.
What's your like overall assessment of Trump?
He's a sociopathic narcissist. He's only interested in advancing his name, his wealth, and his fame.
Is there anything you can do to like protect American people from stuff that he might try to do?
I'm in conversation with a couple of retired generals to try to explore what we can do.
Who were the...
That's an admission of a crime. Purposely undermining the President of the United States in his official capacity. That meets the burden for treason, and it's self-admitted.
The retired generals that you were going to talk to.
They're like 1, 2, or 3 star generals and admirals. You probably know maybe 4 stars.
So I also have a big day tomorrow, probably the biggest day of all. So we have this huge, huge meeting with military leaders in a very secure room called the Tank.
Ooh.
So we have a tank meeting with like all of the top leaders in the United States military tomorrow on my topic that I prepared.
So it went well.
I think it went well. Very sensitive information. We're gonna have to keep it between us.
I specialize in artificial intelligence and emerging technologies like quantum, cybersecurity.
Yeah. What's quantum? I haven't heard of it.
Quantum is incredibly fast supercomputing that doesn't yet exist, but will soon exist. And when it does, it will change everything.
Hegseth. Who's that?
Secretary of Defense. He's cheated on all his wives, all his girlfriends. He's had some sexual assault allegations. He's an alcoholic. There's a lot of observations of him drinking.
You're not a spy. You're not trying to like collect information from me.
I wish I was. That'd be cool.
Well, with me, literally with a former FBI agent, so you're gonna be safe.
Pretty shocking, isn't it? An admission that the top levels of the Pentagon, and he used to work for the Joint Chief, are meeting or have met to undermine the Trump presidency. This is absolute treason. Now, we're going to go beyond what James did here in his great reporting, and we're going to talk about mitigation, what needs to happen. On the 21st of January, Menina, the subject of this video, needs to be arrested for treason, insubordination, and plotting against the President of the United States. He could be court-martialed in a military tribunal because of the crime against the Commander-in-Chief. He can be used to gather evidence against these other co-conspirators. You start with the low-level dog that he is. You extract sentencing agreements in exchange for testimony against the higher-ups. At this point, the Trump administration would have a choice. And I recommend that they do both. One, they indict for treason. Two, they're also court-martialed and stripped of their rank and any potential retirement. Three, they're sentenced as the traitors they are. Now, depending on the seriousness of the treason, Everything's on the table from capital punishment to Leavenworth. This kind of treason can never be tolerated. Heads must roll. And let me remind you before you say, well, they can't do that with the Pentagon. Didn't Obama fire over 400 command military officers who he thought were too conservative to serve in upper level branches of the military? Well, yes, he did. The precedent's been set. But none of those 400 were ever charged with treason. They were just voting GOP. And if you don't think they don't know who you vote for, think again. This is what needs to happen to Menina and his drunken big mouth. Talk about Hegseth. What about you? Unbelievable. Duped by a woman, trying to get over on a woman and committing treason, admission of treason in the process. There can be no mercy shown here. And we need to have a house cleaning in the Pentagon. And Pete Hegseth is the guy that can upset the apple cart here. New leadership is needed. And organizations like Booz Hamilton need to be eliminated from all Pentagon contracts. The deep state needs to be turned upside down. And anyone connected to this, minimum, deserves prison time. Look forward to your comments. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com. And all you got to do when you get there is go to the upper right-hand corner, click on the link, place in your email, and you'll receive a daily update of everything we do in the previous 24 hours. Do you find this as distressing as I do? That the people who are sworn to protect us with their very lives are working against our very interests? Do you understand, before we conclude this, that we voted for a mandate? We, the people, and these people are saying, middle finger to you, America, and we're going to go after your elected commander-in-chief. Need I say any more? Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we have good news, and hopefully we have anticipated news. And let's hope that the latter comes true. We're going to explain right here after I tell you that we are brought to you by Noble Gold. The left is not going to stop trying to destroy everything. They're throwing every roadblock they can into Donald Trump, and they're still trying to bring down the economic system. That means that the Dodd-Frank Law 2010 needs to be primarily considered as a threat to everything you own that's associated with a bank. If your retirement's in the bank, Dodd-Frank says you're number two, they're number one, they get to keep your retirement or your passbook savings or your checking savings or anything else associated with the bank. It's wholly unconstitutional. It's illegal. It's immoral. But it's the law that came in under who? Barack Obama in his second or third term. By the way, his third term ended yesterday. Thank goodness. Barack Obama is behind the effort to take everything from every American they can. His mission is to destroy America. He's in league with the globalists who want one world government and not you. What can you do? Well, I just concluded a deal with Noble Gold yesterday. I'm going to say this. I've been a customer for 7.5 years. We had a little money come in on a deal, and I said, not putting that in the bank. My wife said, you're right. Noble Gold got our call. The federal government wants me to tell you that anytime you deal with money, investments, there's a risk. We agree with that warning. They don't give you the warning about how crooked the banks are, particularly the big ones, Wells Fargo, B of A, Chase. They're all criminal. And they wouldn't hesitate to steal money from their mother if it would benefit them. Don't let them. Noble Gold can extricate everything, put it under your control, back it with precious metals, and you're safe. Isn't it time you looked into it? 877-646-5347. The man that survived this is finally brought justice, part one, to the people who have been imprisoned inhumanely for trespass. Now, if someone was violent, they deserve their punishment. If someone trespassed with encouragement from implanters from the federal government, the FBI, like Ray Epps, what's happened there was terrible. We saw grandmothers denied cancer medication. We saw them kept in 50-degree weather. Sometimes meals were skipped. It was horrendous. It was not much better than a Nazi death camp, minus mass executions. Well, Donald Trump signed an executive order freeing 1,500 of these people. Finally. Finally. But we're not done. This is the part two. That was the expected action. Trump has kept his campaign promise. But we need the anticipated action. These people had their civil rights violated. Biden forgot to pardon one person. Marion Bowser, the mayor of D.C. She oversaw that. She denied entry to members of Congress like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who wanted to check on the welfare of these people based on complaints from family members. Denied. Marion Bowser needs to spend time in a 50-degree weather prison. She needs to go to prison for heading this up. The people running the prison that perpetrated these abuses need to go to prison. And I've been saying this a lot lately, but unless we make examples of these people for their lawbreaking, their violation of civil rights, human dignity, then we're going to see it again. And one more thing. Lizard Cheney and all the rest of the J6 criminals, the Bolshevik communists, they think they're off scot-free, don't they? Their pardons only extend to federal crimes. Need I say more? Donald Trump, from the bottom of our heart, many of us thank God that you were brought back to be president. And this was the first humane move against lunatics who are also satanic-inspired communists. You say satanic, Dave? Yes. When you advocate and push and protect the practice of unwarranted removal of child's genitalia, you belong in prison. You belong in hell. Sign up for our newsletter, thecommonsenseshow.com, upper right-hand corner. Click the link, put your email in, and you'll get an update of everything we do in the previous 24 hours. People love it. It's one-stop shopping. It's convenient. Do it today, thecommonsenseshow.com, upper right-hand corner. Put in your email.